Good afternoon. You are listening to 91.9 FM, WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Today's guest is Prudence Tippins. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and practices locally here in Viroqua and also in other states, she tells me. And also, the hosts are Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier. I forgot to say my own name. So we are super excited to have Prudence today in the studio. Why? Well, for many reasons.
She's one of the original radio stars.
I was just about to say that. You interrupted me.
Oh, excuse me.
I know, right? Right? Here we are.
When she was on the radio, she was a lot nicer to me.
Maybe. She also doesn't spend 24-7 with you.
Can I go back to those days?
The history of this awesome show, Heart of Wellness, goes back to Prudence and Paul, who co-hosted together. So that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to honor
along
you for...
Bill Motlong
was our producer. And so that's how it all began. Way, way back, a long, long time ago.
Now we got Dan the Man.
We got Dan the Man on the keyboard over there. And it's amazing. We were just saying before we started that, what? You've never been a guest in all those years?
Well, you all haven't aged as much as I have. It's a long, long time
ago. So we are super honored to have Prudence back with us. Because I used to, way back, be at home with little children, listening to them co-hosting and, you know, giving feedback and helping find guests, yes, because that was supposed to be Paul's job.
Eventually.
So I was always engaged in this process. And Paul would be like, I need to find a guest for next week. I need to find a guest for next week.
Are you a marriage therapist? We can go right into it.
So we're so happy to have you all join us this afternoon because we're going to delve into a really cool topic about the brain, as Paul mentioned. And it's a fascinating topic. And why we invited Prudence today was because I recently finished reading a book that Prudence suggested we read many years ago. I think it was years ago you mentioned this book. But the book is called Whole Brain Living, The Anatomy of Choice and the Four Characters that Drive Our Life. Jill Bolt Taylor, PhD, is the author. She also authored a book called The Stroke of Insight that maybe people recognize her name from. She did a TED Talk on it. Got a lot of, what do you call it, hits or views or whatever, which led her to just go to this next book. So we're going to kind of dive into the theories that she found behind that. And we thought Prudence would be a great person to talk to because she... Well, you can tell us why you thought it was good.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. One of the interesting things is, so Jill Bolte Taylor was a researcher at Harvard, a brain researcher, and she ended up having a stroke. So she was actually a brain anatomist. So she studied the structure of the brain. And then she herself had a stroke on the left side of her brain. It basically demolished her entire left side of her brain. And she lived solely in the right side of her brain and rehabilitated. But it was basically 8 years before she got any functioning back in her, any major functioning back in her left brain. And her left, she talks about four characters that she identified as a brain anatomist. So there's a lot to talk about here, but one of the reasons that I'm so interested in it is because I'm an IFS therapist, and which is internal family systems therapist. And the founder of that type of therapy, his name is Dick Schwartz. And he maintains that, he started that kind of therapy saying, oh, it looks like there are parts inside of us. And as he further explored it within his clients and also himself, he realized that we are not individual people. We are multiples. We are all multiples.
Multiples within our self.
Yeah, so we have sub-personalities. So, right. So we
different
think
than being
multiple personality disorder
different than
or
that.
Dissociative identity disorder, okay. Right? It's similar to that in that we don't think that we are, but we are. We all have... a part of me thinks I should really be at home napping. A part of me thinks I should be doing, more. I should be eating right now. A part of me thinks I should be, doing more in the community. And a part of me thinks I need to be making more money or, whatever. We have different parts of us that think that want to control us at any given moment, So the link here for me is that this Jill Bolte Taylor has actually found anatomy to kind of prove this theory that we're multiples, right? She's found four parts, and she talks about four parts, and they pretty well capture, what our parts do. In internal family systems, we don't define the parts for the client. We have the client identify their own parts, and there are hundreds.
Hundreds?
Limit it to four. Oh, yeah. Because...
How about unlimited?
Right, probably unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are parts created every day. You know, parts can be created. Parts are generally created to protect a part that has been hurt. So we would call in IFS, we call those exiles. We would say in Jill Bolte Taylor's model, we would call that character two, the part that remembers who was hurt. You know, what has been hurt. But maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
No,
but anyway, that's why
all.
I got interested in,
totally
in this. And the other reason was because it was during the pandemic, and we were talking about people's responses to the pandemic. Mm. And I thought this book explained really well why different people had different responses. You know, different parts of the brain responded to the pandemic differently. Mm. So the right side of the brain sees everything is in the flow, sees there are no mistakes, that if something is happening is because it needed to happen and for some reason in some way that, you know, we can all move through together. The left side of the brain says from experience, you know, I've looked at the past. The past says we need to respond in a certain way because if we don't, something bad might happen. So the left brain is about keeping it, the left emotional brain is about keeping us safe. The right emotional brain is about flow and connection. So I was thinking that might help us start to better understand different people's responses to.
And I'm going to bring this up. I didn't think I would, but all the studies that have been done on people that are literally split personalities will have a disease in one, and they split, and a minute later, they're in a different personality. They no longer have that disease.
That's right.
And they'll do the blood test to show. They'll do the testing that you have to find to see if that person is it. It shows you how much power we have over our body and how much power the mind has over the body. You know, so and we can if you get in touch with these parts of us, which I'm assuming is part of the therapy, then we can choose, have more choice on how we express ourselves in the world, in our own bodies, in our own lives, in our own relationships.
Yeah, and the thing I want to add to that is that it's not about suppressing a part, you know, and that's where we, I think, as humanity have made our mistake, is that we tend to, our society at least tends to say, well, just don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. And what Jill Bolte Taylor asserts, and I agree with, you know, as a therapist, we are feeling people who can think. We are not thinkers. We are basically feelers because the thinking part of our brain has evolved the most recently. So the feeling part of our brain is the animalistic part of our brain, the mammalian part of the brain. The reptilian part of the brain, of course, is the hind brain, and that's the part that does things automatically, the breathing and the heart rate, et cetera, et cetera. Animals can feel, and they look at past experiences and learn from those so that they don't go where the hunters are. They don't, so they can survive, right? The hunters meaning predators or people or whatever. But that's how animals survive. That's how some mammals survive. And so humans had that as we evolved, but then we added the thinking part of the brain. So that's the newest part, and it's the last to come online. So if our feeling part will take over our thinking part. So there are therapies out there that try to get you to think your way out of a feeling.
Oh.
And that can work short term, but generally long term, if we suppress an emotion, it's going to come back and maybe even stronger.
Can you give me an example of that? If a problem that someone have to try to think their way out of a feeling, like I'm angry because Paul did something to me, so that therapy, like, well, let's think about that. Let's think about why you're. Is that your meaning by think about why you're angry? Think about.
No, they would say. I mean, I think it's more base than that, which would be just don't think about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
just don't think about it.
I like that idea.
It doesn't work though. But then it comes back stronger later, so you don't want that.
Right. Okay. So that's a think your way out of a feeling. Okay.
Right. Saying you know you have mastery over your feelings, and this is where I think we can get into trouble is by. And this is where IFS is different. This type of therapy doesn't say, look at your fear and recognize that that's not happening in the moment. That can help in the moment, but long term, that part is still fearful. And so this is character two in Jill Bolte Taylor's language, left side of the brain. That part is still holding the information that something is not safe. And so it will continue to think that, and it will get louder because it wants to keep you safe. So if you know, you're angry at Paul for something he did and you felt unsafe about it, I'm sorry to use that example, but since it's in front of us.
You know this bus? I feel this bus keep running over me. It's just like I got tracks all over me. And what are we, 5 minutes into this, Dan? Help me.
So let me say that I did something to Paula and it made her feel unsafe. And then I'll use me as an example. And it made Paula feel unsafe. And
that's impossible, so you might as well use me.
So she might avoid me, for example. She might just kind of avoid me and not want to bring it up, you know, out of politeness or whatever. Right. It doesn't mean as much. Whereas it's harder to do with a spouse. But if it were me, and then you know, and she would just try to think her way, like say, oh, I should just let that go. I should just let that go. But it would stick in her mind because, you know, she's doesn't feel safe. And so that's what the right. character two is all about, the left emotional brain. Mm-hmm. So we try to say that we can, you know, think with our thoughts, push the a fear away and or grief or anger or whatever, and we generally can't effectively do that long term. Right. So yeah, there's sometimes a therapy that kind of directs you to do that, but we're finding that they're not a good long term strategy.
So
friendly with it, yeah. right? Like so to learn about it and understand why it's feeling that, and have compassion, which is coming from the right brain. So
right,
it's using the right brain.
One of the things was Dr. Taylor, who when she found, like you mentioned, she had this long recovery. And I think, if I remember this right, you know, we all know there's two parts of the brain, right? Two hemispheres. And so this experience she had was that she literally realized she feels two parts of each of those hemispheres, right? That's how she got to the four parts. And just the fascination of that when I was reading her book, that literally, I mean, it was amazing that she could literally feel herself going into the stroke and her linear side is like, oh my gosh, I only have blah, blah, minutes left to make a phone call because I know I'm going to shut down with all the blood in my brain. Like, fascinating to read that story if anyone hasn't. Stroke of Insight is really fascinating. But then in her recovery, just to have all that time in the right brain, and she said part of her didn't want to leave that. Like, why, right? Excuse me, because we spend a lot of our time wanting to get to that part of our brain, right? Like, I just want to be relaxed and, you know, live in that dreamy place. She said she realized the value of the left side of her brain.
Yes.
Like, she, like, it's really cool being here, but I can't, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, something about she couldn't find her individual self floating around in her right brain. Is that a good way of saying that?
Exactly, yeah.
Right? That she's like, I realize I need that left side to be me, to find those boundaries of me. Because otherwise she literally, when we all go, I wish I could meditate and just be one with everything, like, that's what she was being.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm. And then she realized, well, I can't really function as a human, right?
Right. Yeah, and she missed it. She missed her individuality. She was a professor at Harvard, which she said was her biggest accomplishment. You know, her getting her doctorate and getting a job at Harvard, that was her biggest accomplishment. She had no identification with that at all when she was in that state, in her right side of the brain. And she said she felt kind of good about it when she got it back a little bit. Like, I tried really hard to get this, you know, to where I worked really hard for this, and to have it back feels kind of good. But then she really recognized the value of not identifying as that person all
that
the time.
Only and that piece only.
I mean, what a gift if we could actually switch that on and off.
Right.
Coming home and boom, oh, yeah, I'll put that in the drawer, and now I'll just be my spiritual self. Mm-hmm. So she did. I didn't read the book, but she did obviously realize that this is her real self.
Yeah.
And these other things are her left identity, is that, or her...
I think I'm putting words in her mouth here, but I think she would say they're all herself. She's a real advocate for embracing all four parts, which I appreciate as an IFS therapist, because we say all parts are welcome. Mm. In our society, we do tend to identify more with way more with the left side.
The successful accomplishments, right?
That would be the left front, and then the left emotional brain is about, you know, not letting bad things happen.
Right.
So we tend
to
identify with both of those things. Like how can I plan my life so that bad things don't happen? I feel safe.
Right.
We definitely want more right side involvement, mm-hmm. I think, in our lives. And there are lots of ways to do that. She suggests several ways to...
Right. And the right side, so we can just kind of give our audience an overview. So then, like, she calls it characters, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One is the thinking on the left. Two is the emotional left brain where your survival kind of.
Yeah.
Three is the right brain emotion where it's like, where do I find joy? Let's have a, right, that adventure, all that fun stuff we like to do, right? Yeah. I always like to think like, I love living in my character three
yes.
part of my brain. Like yes. I spent a lot of my life wanting that fun, that yes. this. Come on, everybody, let's all do this together, yeah. this connection. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the character four is right brain thinking, and she says, but it's more like connection with that, right, that bigger, that, how am I saying that, Prudence, that bigger.
Yeah, the larger whole. Picture, yeah, right.
Right, so that's your yeah. right brain where you'd be out floating, just all connected always.
The cosmos.
That way.
Everything's
the cosmos.
Flow, yeah, and the flow.
Right, and then so recognizing those four parts.
What was number two? Emotion, you said?
Two was left brain emotion, so that's like your...
Is left brain actually can have emotion?
Yeah, yeah, they're both... Actually, there's an amygdala on both sides of the brain, which I learned from her. Right. But yeah, the left amygdala is the one that holds the... anxiety about something happening again. And then the right side is always present. So the right side amygdala is about if you're walking along and you think you see a snake, is what the example she used, you jump. And that's coming from your right side because it still wants to keep you safe, but it's about the immediate moment. And to get into that side, it's all about sensation. So, you know, you look around and say, what color are the walls? Or in that case, you look down at the ground and, oh, that's actually a stick.
Yeah.
You know, that's shaped like little bits like a snake, but it's a stick. So you bring yourself back to the present. But that's when you that's kind of the adrenaline rush that you get from, you know, bungee jumping or rafting down a...
Who's done that?
Macquarie River.
Dr. Paul.
So
that would have been like a character three right brain moment, that adrenaline rush, like, oh my gosh.
Yes, yes, yes.
So yeah, I just appreciated her chunking it down. Now Paul and Evan talks about it. He's like, I don't know if I want to chunk down my brain. And we were talking about it, you're kind of like, I don't know if I can get into that language. Mm-hmm. So you know, comparing it to your work, the IFS work, now there's lots of
parts, yeah,
parts, I mean, or the, chunks. Right.
The goal would be to get the whole family back together. Right? Is that the ultimate goal of the therapy?
Yes. The goal is to really, in IFS, the goal is to have a relationship with self, which Jill Bolte Taylor would say would be the right frontal lobe. That's where self would reside, self with a capital S, which is, you know, the part that's connect, or we wouldn't call, in IFS, we wouldn't call it a part, but she calls it a part. So the one, the wholeness that is connected to everything. Connect that to our parts who feel lonely and isolated, which is the definition of the left emotional brain. Those parts feel lonely and isolated and scared, you know, of what might happen. And so getting self, the right frontal lobe, connected with the left, with both sides of the left brain, both parts of the left brain, but that is what is healing to that part that feels lonely and scared and isolated. And and then it can know that that's not the only perspective. And so having this wholeness say, hey, I'm here for you. I hear your sadness. I hear your, what you're going through, and I'm with you in it. And holding the energy of that doesn't have to be the truth, that, you know, with a capital T, right? It's a perspective, and I honor and respect your perspective. But it's not all there is. And I'm not going to tell you that's not all there is. I'm just going to hold the space with you and then and let you use your imagination. So the healing process in IFS, part of it is the unburdening. So the part can say, here's all that I'm holding, and I want you to know what it is. And this right frontal lobe can hear that and have compassion and interest and care and curiosity about it and tell me more, you know, like sincere curiosity. And then when that part feels heard, then the healing process is, let's change your experience. Mm-hmm. So going back in memory and creating a different reality.
Really?
Yeah.
So this fits right in my favorite connection right now with the whole Joe Dispenza stuff, if I'm hearing it right. Mm-hmm. So this is well known. There's the newer science, thoughts... they've actually measured the energy. So every thought has energy, mm-hmm. and emotion has energy. You know, so you have these, and there's power behind them. And in the process of a prayer, without emotion, is doesn't have much force. You put emotion in, so you have a fire, and then the emotion is the fuel for that fire. So with that process, if we're not feeling that, it's like, oh, I could say, oh, don't think about that. Just don't think about that. Put that in the corner. It's like, well, the energy's still there, and now you're thinking about it, you know, so because you're trying to shove it away. And it's like, how do we create a different future? Well, acknowledging these past things to let them go, to let it burn out, per se. Let the fire go. Feel it so you can then choose something else in the future.
That's right.
You know, feel
and
it.
Even in the past. You can even choose it for the past, something different.
There you go. Okay. You can go back and rewrite the past.
That's
well,
right.
The beauty about the past and the future and the present, the WDRT is in all of it. It's here.
Nice
it's
segue.
It's in the past. It's in the past. You can get it any time. In fact, you can go back and listen to old shows in the past. And the future is coming. Here, you can, tomorrow, you can turn on the radio and there's the future. And
right.
Today, all you got to do is tune in, WDRT 91.9, and you are in the present.
And part of WDRT has sub-personalities, and one of those is the Heart of Wellness show. So in this sub-personality, Heart of Wellness, today we're having an experience in part of our whole brain of WDRT with Prudence Tippins.
And you can create a better future, according to Dan, by listening to WDRT.
Oh, let's do
for
it.
Sure.
Well, if you're just joining us, Prudence is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she lives and practices locally here in Viroqua, but she also is licensed in other states. And
well, she's driving in between. We won't go there. She's got to shut off the phone.
Got some grandkids to visit.
So if you've been with us from the beginning, great. We're really working into this idea of the brain and the different parts and different ways of looking at it. It's a fascinating
Well, let's
thing,
go
sure.
right into that process of okay. energy, emotion, and thought.
Mm-hmm.
And say, how does that fit into therapy in this process? How
energy.
Does it fit in to energy? So every thought's an energy and every emotion has energy and they work together in the process. So a thought, like a what's the ones you write down?
Give us an example. Pretend you're coming in to see Prudence with an energy
and
emotion
so,
thought.
Well, here I got, what are they called? Dang it, help me.
Let's help you. Your gym teacher hit you on the head because you weren't paying attention and you're mad and now you realize it's...
That did happen with
I know.
The ring.
That's what I'm saying. He hit you with that ring.
He hit you really hard.
Oh,
with
that
ring.
I
remember that story.
We ain't going to go there, but we actually got spanked with yeah. with this huge...
So anyway, so you were traumatized by this teacher because you talk about it.
No, he's a good buddy now. So
he's
it's
good,
no big deal.
But still...
Yeah, but that part of you still holds that memory.
Oh,
okay. So
okay.
you're saying
so we're going to pretend I'm still hanging on to that. Yes.
And there's energy behind that thought.
And it's
an emotion.
It's most likely in my neck somewhere. So I'm feeling that.
Or that lump on your head from his.
That could be. So it definitely could.
That's probably why. You
so you come in to see Prudence. You're like, oh my gosh, I have this energy, and this thought, and this emotion. And how would you address him of helping him break that down with the IFS system? Like, how would you?
Well, with IFS, we would find the parts involved. So generally, if there's a part that's hurt, which would be that emotional
little paw
of the left brain, little paw.
Actually, if you really want to get into something, it's when I no longer was a starter on the basketball team.
Let's go real. Okay, we're going real now.
Now that I'm still
folks.
Hanging on to.
Okay, so.
Okay.
I lost it to a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
Why, Paul?
Because I got kicked off the team for drinking the year before, and I lost my spot.
Oh, okay.
The coach didn't trust me anymore.
Had nothing to do with height. Okay.
Oh, boy. She's doubling down. You got to pay for this.
She's giving
you got to pay for it. Oh,
no,
shorty.
This is free. The paid version is better.
Okay. She went right out. Okay. Hey, can somebody stop the bleeding here? Please call the ambulance. Would you, Dan?
Well, sometimes you have to inflict a little pain.
She's okay. giving you a 2-for-1.
Yes.
Well, I think I got kicked somewhere. Can you feel that too? Am I puking?
In your heart, you're puking.
You're good. You're like, this is easy. I'm really paying. I get my money's worth here.
So you guys
missed our little bouts here.
So senior year, you sat the bench.
Because I was shorty.
And because of your actions the year before.
Yes, because my past actions were probably still my present actions.
But, so you were hurt. So there's a part of you that was hurt. So that we would call that, in Jill Bulte Taylor's language, we would call that the left emotional brain. And so in IFS, we would call that the exile. And so there are likely always protectors who protect the exiles. So one protector, for example, might, and this is not true of you, but for some people would never try out for another sports team again because they would feel, if it were, like, say it was not about the drinking, say it was something else.
But if I was that guy, I'd be a fat guy right now sitting drinking beer and not having any, you know.
Possibly, but that could be one protector, one protective.
Like you came back to the team, so that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that would probably be your right brain saying, "I'm still in the flow. All is well." So you probably had enough right brain energy and that connectedness, which is the character three, the right emotional brain, is that I still want to be connected here, even if I'm not allowed to play. I still want to be connected. I still want to be part of things because that's what the three.
But it was really tough. I mean, that's.
Yeah. So then, I mean, not that this was what the show was about, but to heal that. Dan's showing us something. To heal that, we would have this part who's hurt connect with this right frontal lobe, which is self. So your wholeness, which would be characterized by curiosity and compassion and complete focus, right? Like really being present with that part. We would have you be really present with that part and really listen to the pain that's there. And, you know, you do have a protector that likes to make fun of things, right? Likes to make fun of yourself.
Yeah, humor's good.
Humor's a good protector and can be useful and also be connecting to other people. So it's a valuable protector, but it's a protector nonetheless. So we would ask that part to maybe step aside so that you could actually feel the pain. So the part that does feel the pain could actually tell this right frontal lobe, this self energy, what it's been feeling, you know, what it's been holding, this hurt. And so the right frontal lobe wouldn't tease it or, you know, use that protective energy. It would just listen and be completely present. And I would help you with that. I would help you be there in that way. And then you would ask the part. So once that unburdening had happened, we would ask the part how it would want to change that in your memory. So, you know, it might say, I wish I hadn't gotten drunk. I wish I hadn't been caught or whatever. It could change
getting
it.
Getting caught is or, the one I'm worried about.
That's probably more like it. So that or you could change how you feel about it. You know, it could say you could be there with it. You could your self energy, right?
See the lesson in it because it did guide me through the process. Maybe even save my life.
Yes, right.
You know, there's different ways that I have looked. I have definitely rewritten the past.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have been
you've
back.
You've looked at you've had a different perspective.
On it. Went back and say, you know, I'm still like. Bummed about that experience for sure, and the choices I made, and I could totally understand why he chose to do that as a coach, and other moments that he could have shifted during that season. But at the same time, it probably saved my life and maybe other people's lives because I did operate more discreetly. In other words,
And you maybe didn't drink as much. I mean, you had a consequence.
I don't think of that. Okay. I just chose not to drive, know, in that process. But some other person would drive, know.
Well, so what you might have missed is that listening to the hurt part, and which is okay. Like, we can function without doing that every time, and that's fine. But that, you know, that could be healing for that part to really just say, this is how, you know, it really was crushing for me because it was my senior year, I wanted to play, and... You know,
And I remember from fifth grade on us playing, and we had this team that was going to, and we were rated second in state, and this was our whole year. For years, we talked about getting to that opportunity, and I blew it. And then but it helped me in life. I've looked back.
Right, but so there's that hurt there, and this is what I think we don't do with each other too, mm-hmm. right? Like when mm-hmm. in interpersonal, it's hard for us to hear. We want to go right to that.
It's okay. I learned from it.
That's right. We want to go right to that with each other, and you know, it's our own decision if we do it internally, and that can be fine. But I think we miss that step with each other, but also in ourselves, and so that
to me that goes to a real place of vulnerability, right? If Paul would really share with that part of himself,
my dad just died, and he was a huge fan, and he never got to see his son play in that. Well, he's had other sons, but in that team that he was
looking forward to it too.
He'd watched for 8 years,
yeah,
and hear his, you know, so there's a lot to it, And absolutely. I definitely can feel it, you know, in that process. But
But then that protector often comes up, right?
Oh, yeah. He's already in the way.
So one protector wants to make fun of it. One protector wants to rationalize it. Yeah. One protector. And those are all good protectors. You know, the protector, nobody's bad in this scenario, right? And the same with
survival
personally, right? They're all survival. I wanted to bring up, there's a couple of books that I've been interested in lately, but one is called Determined, A Science of Life Without Free Will. And it's not as bad as it sounds. Robert Sapolsky is an MD, I think, who has done a lot of research in medicine. But he talks about how our unique combination of genetics and you know, our physical body and how our environment, how they interact and make things so that we don't have as much choice as we think we do. And so we have a lot of
layers of life experience.
Of layers. Yes, exactly.
Well, and, I would cry right now, but I would think that you would send me a bill. So I'm trying to stay. So I'm going to back up. Yeah, I got her locked down.
But yeah, good.
But it is interesting though, just watching that process. Like you're kind of touching on it, but you're like, well, I'm on the air, and I'm not. What if I do grow on air? Another protection, right?
Right.
Another,
exactly.
Because I've heard that story from my husband for all the years I've known him, and the first time I heard, it, I was like, oh, bummer. And then he'd say it again to someone else, like, oh, there's another little layer there, and then oh, and you said that you waited on the bench like every week, hoping he'd put you in.
Yeah, so I got to play junk time and.
Yeah, but not the important stuff for the games on the line, and you know, and then you. Yeah. You're like, I never got to show my worth.
I mean, it's crazy because it, you know, it brings up chills. We're in the game that we had beat this team by 20 points like 2 weeks before. Three of the guys were sick, and the coach choked. In my mind, he had played eight people the whole time. He never put us three in. He kept them out there, and we lost by 10 points. Oh, so these guys were out of it, but he also choked in that process. Maybe he didn't. You know, and I never got my chance even then, where it was like, these guys are sick. They're puking at halftime. You got to let your other guys play.
Goodness, yeah.
And at that moment, he looked over at the bench, and I looked away. I remember the whole moment. I looked away instead of getting up and saying, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So he was checking in.
So you never spoke your truth in that way to him.
No. I should have said, oh, I'm ready. Boom, jump out there.
And give me another chance, coach. You can trust me.
Yeah. And in the process, and we lost. We were expected to win that whole, and that was the first game of that regionals before he got to state. And everybody was expecting us to go to state, and we got beat up by a 14. So it's really wild, and how that still sits in you. You know, it's interesting, the emotion of that I could go to that bench right now, and feel what I was feeling, and the choices you make in life. I mean, this is obviously a small thing. No,
well,
nobody,
is it though?
No, right. Nobody got killed.
Is it small, Paul?
Oh, hey, we ain't going there. Because I got two bills. I got my wife's bill and Bruce's bill. Hey, this is getting expensive, Dan. Help me. You're the only. You got to save me from these females. They're making me feel. Well,
sometimes when I bring up something from my past, and my husband will say, when are you ever going to let that go? And I'm like, I'm trying to let it go, but maybe I haven't also done that work of meeting it and sharing it with that other part of my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because our society doesn't do that. Our society says when a 2-year-old stubs their toe, we say, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't cry. It's okay. Yeah. Right? Immediately.
And they're like, oh, it hurts really bad.
Right.
So we get so that is interesting, right? So, you know, probably like, when you let that go? Like, of course, there's a big part of me wants to let it go, but maybe I haven't really acknowledged it enough to actually let it go.
Yeah, my question is, when are you going to feel it fully?
Ah.
Right? Yeah. And there it is. That's the bill right there. Full bill. When are you going to feel it? You brought it up right away.
She's going to have us both.
When are you going to feel it? God, she's tough.
She's going to have us both in tears by the end of this hour. Sobbing.
But then the next step, after you feel it, and then you can envision what you would have preferred to happen and rehearse that so that you actually feel it, you know, it's the thought plus the feeling. And then we do a little ritual that solidifies that feeling of, so you use the earth, air, you know, in your mind, you envision a ritual. So once, a couple of times I've had a client burned something, like a whole building down, where something awful happened. You know, in their they've done it, not really.
Oh, wow!
In their mind, in their imagination, they'll light fire to the building.
Therapy.
Yes,
I get rid of that garage. Start a fire.
I just want to make sure all the insurance companies hear that this is in the imagination.
In the imagination.
Yes.
Okay, so the person burns it down metaphorically.
Right, metaphorically burns it down so that that part that has so much angst and hurt, so it feels satisfied. And then that calms down that character too, because the character too says, oh, the danger's gone.
The danger's gone.
And otherwise it doesn't, because it doesn't have any power, you know.
Right.
But the power of the imagination is just as strong. Our brain is not good at distinguishing reality from imagination, as you know. You know, mm-hmm. You both know that very well. So we can do this in our imagination, and that relieves the left brain says, good, that's resolved. And that right left brain communication, right through the corpus callosum, is what does that. It's the imagination going over to the,
which is the power of creating a better future. Also,
yes,
because the mind doesn't know the difference, or the body doesn't know the difference from the future or the past.
Yeah,
the imagination, you can create it and draw it to you.
Yes,
draw a new future to you by getting into that moment. And experiencing a new future.
And then by changing, that's how you're saying you can change your past. When that's you right. Start the saying, we
you let go of the past, create
change,
a new future.
We change the story of the past, you just change it.
Right, right. And that relieves that emotional attachment to that. Because what the reason that part, that character too, is holding on to that story is because it doesn't want it ever to happen again. You know, mm-hmm. That can't happen again. It was too painful.
Yeah.
So I can't ever let that, you know, get touched again. That can't happen again. So it's going to warn you every time there's something like that's related to that. It's going to say, oh, avoid that.
Yeah. Be careful. Remember last time?
Yeah, right.
Remember last time he hurt you?
That's right.
How'd I end up marrying you, Paul?
Yeah,
remember last time we broke up and broke my heart?
You see these dimples?
I know.
Right. That's
it. That is. That's it.
That's the reason.
That's it.
Well, probably because you were able to express, you know, knowing a little bit of the story, you mm-hmm. were able to express some of what you were feeling, and there was some repair work there. And the repair healed that.
For a 20-year-old who has no training and no good therapist to help me, I was more like, you're starting over, buddy. You got to re-court me.
That's right. So, so that helped.
Right? You got to redo this.
That's great.
But still, it's amazing how these experiences shape you,
they
right?
Really
or this
do,
part of your brain remembering it, and then the work to reconstruct in that sense. So you help people reconstruct a lot.
I think that's right. And one of the things I liked about what Jill Bolte Taylor says is that she talks about how in that right brain space, you see that it's all energy. It's not, there's really nothing but energy, and we're, you know, made of the same particles as everything else. This is a Harvard brain scientist, right? Like, she's not airy fairy or hippy dippy, like I could be called.
Right.
She's saying this is what the real world is, and
it's energy.
Yeah, it's all energy, and we can draw things to us very easily. Our thoughts have so much power.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is like going even into some of the newer science also, the science of the field, the science of going into the cosmos, like us as a human being, putting our brain, and they're now measuring the brain waves when we go from delta to betas, where we're normally at, and then to delta, and then gamma, and then getting to, what's the ultimate? Is gamma the ultimate?
Gamma's the ultimate, but
you're in that zone.
Delta, and you'd like to get to.
And literally, from my understanding, is it rewrites it. Like, you can rewrite your past. And maybe it's even with some of the tribes that used psychedelics. And one, the African tribe using ibogaine, mm-hmm. where you go into like a 25 to 35 hour rerun of your life and letting go of some of these charges. And I don't know if they've done brain studies on that, but they've done brain studies on people that have done these meditations and prayers and where they're just letting go, you mm-hmm. know. Using this therapy, which is powerful, but here's your like an inside job. Like you're getting into that zone and realizing that you're all energy. And when you get into the field of endless possibilities, that you can rewrite the book. You know, you rewrite the book of possibilities. WDRT. It is like the field of Viroqua. You can go into the field by just clicking a button, and you're in the field, and what do you get? Anything you want, from country to learning about the brain and the heart to getting into all kinds of wild things. It is really, instead of WDRT, it should just be the wild thing.
Well, today on the Wild Thing station, 91.9 FM, this is the Heart of Wellness show. If you just randomly flipped your dial around and you found us, and this is Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier, and we are talking with Prudence Tippins, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're talking about internal family systems, the work that she utilizes a lot with her clients, and we're talking about whole brain living, which is kind of a shading of it, not quite, but similar. Prudence, if someone wanted to find you after this hour is over, is there a way for people to find you? Is there any?
Not really.
Okay, folks, you got to pick it all up right here.
You can go to the field. She'll be there. Nothing but light over the corner. That's the cheapest way.
I do have a website.
Do you have a website?
Interconnections.me.
I-N-N-E-R?
I-N-N-E-R, yeah, very good.
Interconnections.
Interconnections.me is the
.me.
Website.
.me. Mm-hmm. Interconnections.me. How do you get such a sweet little email like that? Interconnections.me.
Yeah, that's the web domain.
Okay. Yeah. Interconnections.me. That's how you would find Prudence if you would have other questions or would be interested in. Oh, there it is. Look at there. There she is. Interconnections.me.
Yeah.
So, great. So, thank you for that, because sometimes people might have want to find you somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted
to say that you were talking about emotion, just to follow up on that piece, that emotion and thought. EMDR is another type of therapy that I sometimes use, but Susan Townsley is really the expert of it, that kind of therapy locally, I would say. But there are several people who do it. Okay. But she's the one who introduced me to it, and I was fascinated. It was probably 25 years ago now, but then I learned how to do it once I became a therapist also. And that is a therapy that utilizes thought and emotion at the same time. And you have to. So,
what does EMDR stand for?
Oh, it's emotional. Let's see.
It must mean something.
Yeah, it does. It's movement and
direct response.
Emotional madness done right?
I even want to say
emotional.
Yeah, to look it up.
Dan might find it too. He might race you to the point. What do you got, Dan?
Gosh, I can't. I know. Emotional movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. So the woman who founded it said she would rename it if she could.
Yeah, that's pretty complicated.
Yeah. Eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing.
Okay.
EMDR.
Wow, thank you.
It's not emotional movement, but it is emotional movement, actually. That's what it is. But it's through eye movement. But she discovered it, actually, through walking. She realized that when she was feeling an emotion and walking at the same time, swinging her opposite arm with opposite leg, right? Her right arm and her left leg and vice versa, that things would move through and she would feel better by the end of the walk.
Wow.
So she started that way. And then she started doing eye movement during the walk, and that improved it even more. So she would go from left to right. So she was realizing that this cross-body movement actually helped. So then she started experimenting with tapping on either shoulder. And you know, you've done tapping. So that helps with meridian, or it moves things through based on the meridians. That's helpful too. But she based it on cross-body movement. And with this therapy, you do eye movement, but so it's your eyes going back and forth, or you can hold tapping little, they call them tapping paddles, and you can hold them in your hands, and they'll just buzz, joop, 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 joop. So it's going one hand to the other.
Then it gets the brain activated.
That's right.
Both sides.
That's right. Both sides of the brain are being activated, but what you're supposed to do then is the client is. They find a current emotion, then they regress back and think of all the times they felt the same emotion. So they're instead of looking at the story around the thought, they're looking at the emotion, and so they go back and find all the times. And then
That's
right. So you try to find the first time you felt that, or the worst time you felt it. Either one, it will work.
First
or the worst, and then you do this eye movement reprocessing, and then it always increases, almost always, I guess. Increases the emotion increases first, you know, and it peaks and then it releases. So you're just doing the eye movement and stopping every after they've done, you know, like 28 back and forths, and then you say how you're feeling, and they'll say how they're feeling, and then you say okay, go with that, and then they do it again. So you're checking in every little bit, and then at some point they'll sigh or, you know, have some sort of release, and then they'll say, it's gone. You know, basically it's gone. So that's a way of, without talking, just having eye movement, but they have to be feeling the feeling. So it's like what you're saying. You can't do it just thinking your way through. It has to be feeling the feeling. And the feeling arcs and releases. And so the science says that feelings arc and release in 8 seconds naturally. But we as humans, you know, we, because we've directed ourselves and each other to stifle our emotions and to suppress them, they take hours or days or weeks or months or years. And so if they went their natural course, it would take about 8 seconds for anger to
And that's interesting. That's what people that live in the world of stress, by rerunning these things, they get sick. I mean, the sickness is coming from the constant stress hormones that are being produced, the chemicals that are being introduced in your own body. So if you keep living in that world, if you're not dealing with some of your emotions that are still locked in, those thoughts, those ideas, and you're trying to trap them in your body, well, it shows up as a disease, a dysfunction within your own body. So fighting,
or in arguments with your spouse, or in, you know, right? It can be emotional or physical, or
So having to take care of those in order for us to create health, you got to deal with them, right? You got to bring them up. You got to let them go. You can't keep stuffing them.
This reminds me of another form of, I don't know if you call it therapy, but Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. Any of you ever done that?
Yes.
Right? So I, you know, won't go into deeply, but, you know, I was in California and these people asked if I wanted to do this little intro course. I'm like, sure. And these students were like practicing. Mm-hmm. And they used me as a practice person. They said, bring up something that was painful or something. And I go, my dad's death. And I went into this whole cycle. And you're holding these cans in your hand and they're watching some meter. But they remind me, like, they try to say, go to the most
painful,
the first time or the painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a little more than they were expecting that Friday evening in their little science lab when Paula showed up to sit down and go through this. That, you know, I remember I was just like processing out, like just crying, and I could hear them like calling their supervisor over. And it was all good, but I remember what the release after, I was just like, you know, kind of like you're saying, like when it really releases. And, you know, so many times in my life I've processed my father's passing in different ways. But that was I remember it felt like a big hunk was let go, right?
Yeah.
And then I craved like a peanut butter cup, which I don't know why, but my dad had kind of a sweet tooth. But but the idea of like, you know, I don't know how long, it was way more than 8 seconds that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me of that feeling was one thing I wanted to share, that, you know, there's other entities trying to help people release stuff, right?
Yes,
I mean,
right. Yeah, lots
a lot of
that,
people
right,
trying to work on getting back to that first or worst moment.
That's right.
Or like, you know, the first time a dog bit you, and then you always have that charge in the dog biting you. And so Dianetics would say, go back to that moment.
Right.
To try to clear
and
that.
I will say it can be re-traumatizing if it's not handled, right? Like, there's a whole school of therapy that's now kind of debunked that is re-traumatizing, but it was, you know, making a rape victim, for example, go through every aspect of the story, or, you know, anybody
that
who really
was
experienced trauma. But it was especially traumatic with rape.
It was a therapy that they were trying to work, see if that helped people.
Right, right. Because, just kind of forcing them to go back through every detail of the thing and remember it. And there's, you know, there's some utility in it, but it can, if it's re-traumatizing, then it has the opposite effect. So it's a little delicate. But
well, you know, part of us has to trust that there's a natural form of doing that also, right? Not forcing it. You bring it up, and if it comes up, it's supposed to come up. If it's not, then it's not time, right?
That's right. In
the process that everybody's moving through. But I'm going to throw this elephant out there. Is all the psych drugs that are being used right now, mm-hmm. from numbing a child because they are antsy sitting in the seat 8 hours a day when they should be out running and moving and being in nature more than they're sitting in school at 2 years old. So, let's give them a drug. Let's, you know, and here's an antidepressant. Here's a, you know, all these different things. Oh, anti-anxiety. Oh, you got anxiety. How about let's feel it? Let's feel it. Let's find it. Let's create a safe space. Let's let these things go so your body can create health and not keep creating these stress hormones within your body as these things come up. Whew. Puke them out, sweat them out, cry them out, poop them out. That's, you know, all of that is our natural form of releasing energy. If we're nothing but energy, when it gets stuck in us, it creates sickness.
Yeah, I think we're in a phase in our society of a paradigm shift from suppression to expression.
Mm. Oh, love yeah, it.
Like
love
that, it. Hopefully. Yeah. 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 I mean, and it can have its consequences too, right? Like people are saying, I don't want to be treated like this anymore. And people are saying, whoa, you know, I don't want, you know.
They like the old you because you're predictable? You mean like that,
well,
that type of thing?
Or I'm thinking of, you know, racial issues or, you know, like whole segments of society or women, you know, we don't want to be treated like this anymore. And, mm-hmm. and you know, there are parts of the society that are just saying, I was happy with the old way.
Yeah.
I was
right,
really
right,
happy
right.
with you all being quiet
twerking
and barefoot.
For me.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Did you,
making dinner.
Have children in your practice it? So like
I am not seeing children. My practice is full now and I'm not seeing children. I was seeing children. I used to do neurofeedback, which is a something that can help regulate the brain by helping the brain remember what it's like to feel regulated is basically what it is.
Huh. Okay.
And it's got, you know, they've got things plastered to their heads, but it's not about changing. It's not about putting anything into their brain. It's just reminding the brain by showing them a larger screen when they're at a good frequency for them and a smaller screen when they're not, which it's all in front of the screen. It was one of the reasons I stopped doing it, but it is effective and it really helps change a person's whole life. You know, it can
change them, get them off drugs maybe or something.
Yeah, well, exactly.
What does the electronics come in there? And maybe that's too big of a topic, but like is it a form of avoidance in a lot of ways?
You know, I think as far, I'm going back to Jill Bolte Taylor and seeing like what she's recommending, right, is to access all four characters.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, right?
Yeah,
that
right, is, and when we're not... when we're reinforcing, so most games, right, are about reward, risk and reward. So you go out and you do something and you take a risk, like you're going to lose your life with the, right, you know, quote, lose your life with the
video game. Okay.
Right, so there's risk and then there's reward and there's a dopamine hit when you win something or when you, you know, when you get a point or whatever. I don't know how they work very well anymore, but there's that, and that would reinforce that character two and the character one of the identity. So I'm identifying that I have these three lives. I'm identifying with this character, so that would be identity, which is the character one. So you're really reinforcing the left brain with that. And what we want to do in our society is find more ways to identify with the right brain. And so what you're saying is, I think I would agree with you that that's a way of suppressing the right. the creativity and all of the things that are gifts on the right brain. And I mean,
and that would be just games, but what about like movies and watching news constantly, right? You're
well,
reinforcing.
Well, yeah. Can be, right. Movies might have some benefit in that they're visual
and they bring up emotion
accesses
and
the right brain. Yeah, the right brain is visual, the left brain is linguistic, so... So anything that has visual can enhance the right brain, and it can also enhance that connection feeling. So there are a lot of people doing video games. So I guess it's not an either or, but it can reinforce the emotions on the left side of the brain, but it can reinforce the connection on the right side of the brain.
So this is, you know, in the Joseph Chilton Pierce, like a child under the age of seven, it's very detrimental, mm-hmm. because the picture is created for them to where when at that age they're supposed to create it within their own brain.
Yeah.
So that imagination is stolen from them in a way if it's too young. Like they're seeing the pictures to where if they're told a story or they're read a book is read to them, then they create their own pictures, mm-hmm. and it lights up the brain, and they've done it where they're seeing it from the from watching a movie, it doesn't light up the left side, the right side, it lights up the left.
Yes, that's
more.
Right. That's right.
So that's where I'm wondering if therapies are the same way. Like, what are we trying in the therapy that you're talking about? Is bringing back these characters and acknowledging them and feeling, then I'm assuming if we put a brain scan on, more of the brain would be lit up.
Yeah.
And maybe even the heart, because the heart mm-hmm. is a high percentage of neural cells.
And gut.
What
and
do you
gut,
mean by
yeah,
lit up?
The gut and the heart.
Lit up meaning use, like, so with
full
Dr.
body
Taylor's
brain.
Work, right. Just to wrap that, you're saying she calls it a brain huddle.
Yeah.
She calls it your power tool for peace. So she, you know, her idea with this whole brain living is having these four characters in your brain and bringing them together in a brain huddle, kind of like with your IFS, like, okay, you step aside for a minute and we want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of similar theories in that way.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? We only have about 5 minutes left in the show, so I want Prudence to wrap up anything she wants
to. Well,
I'm
going to add to that. I'm going to put a fifth point on that to make a star. Bring this four characters of the brain, and the star, the fifth, would be the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so we have a full star.
Dr. Paul's going rogue.
I'm going rogue.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I wrote a list, because there are different things to activate the right brain, right? Like, and that's what we need to do more of. And so, you know, we think present moment sensory awareness, that involves us with character three, which is on the right emotional brain. Mind training meditation kind of distances us from identifying with characters one and both the emotions. So that gets us into the right frontal lobe. And then, of course, IFS we talked about. And then spending time with babies and those who are connected to their right brain can help us get connected to our right brain, because it is all in the flow and in the field. Creating is another one.
I'll get painting, any sort of...
Yes.
Being, okay. Well,
just instantly
music.
Can get you right into your right brain. Yeah, yeah, anything. Listening to it or creating it, ideally creating it along, you know, if you can. Or like reading a poem and then writing a poem right afterwards. Yeah. So sometimes listening to something or experiencing something of somebody else's creativity can get you into your own. And then gratitude is a big one too, because that's something that Jill Bolte Taylor felt almost that entire 8 years that she was not connected to her left brain. Mm. She just felt grateful that she was alive the whole time. And that's something that can get us quickly into. Of course, positive psychology talks a lot about gratitude, all the ways you can experience gratitude, five different unique things every day, for example.
Well, interesting. Even though she missed herself, her left side, she probably was never sad in a lot of ways.
She wasn't.
It was like, it was bliss.
Yeah.
Because you're in that right side the whole time.
But yet she totally chose to bring her left side back online or back
to
function.
Well, there's a reason why we're on this planet. We want to have both that experience.
Right. And she said it was in service to the rest of the world. She wanted everybody to know what it was like to live in the right side of the brain.
Yeah.
So in real good therapy, the majority of the world in the Western world right now is dominant left, right? So we're trying am I hearing that right?
It seems what it seems like to me.
You're saying that most therapy is...
trying to bring us back in more into the right.
I don't know that most therapy is. I think that a lot of it is trying to strengthen the managers of the left side, I would say. Much of therapy is trying to cope, trying to... to help us regulate ourselves, which would be a managerial component of the
which isn't necessarily fully positive for that full being in the future, or
It just depends on your perspective. Maybe what people are ready for in the moment. That may be what they can manage in the moment, and then there may be they may want something different eventually, right? But sometimes we have to get regulated, and we have to learn to manage ourselves before we can
go
experiment.
Full, maybe not therapy, but real full healing is to becoming whole again, connecting with our heart brain, and that final piece of the star puzzle, and all four of them, the whole thing lit up, right?
Yeah, right. Right, absolutely.
I love Dr. Paul's words, lit up. We're going to light up that brain. We're going to light up that heart.
It's all about fire and fuel.
Well, Prudence, has been a joy. That hour went so fast, as I knew it would. Mm-hmm. I knew it would just fly by. Again, if folks want to find Prudence Tippin, she's available to be reached at interconnections.me is her website. And thank you for sharing that hour with us. Is there anything, Dan? We're out of time, right? We're wrapping this. 20 seconds, Paul?
2 minutes.
20 seconds, closing statement?
Closing statement, it's always a gift to have you on the air, Prudence. You have brought a light to the world that continues to express itself over radio even. That's how big, bright your star is. So thank you for coming.
Such an honor to be with you two again. I've missed you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Dan.